It's good to be here with you all. God, thanks for your church, for your body. Thanks for these people and for each one of us. You know where we are, and as Jamie prayed, I pray that this word, whatever you want to speak, Holy Spirit, would come through. That you would speak above and beyond what my words are, that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, and that you would grow us in the ways that you've called us to grow. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Hey, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna talk on community today. And I just thought I'd give you that disclaimer because if you're here in the spring, I spoke on community, and so I just want to tell you that I'm doing another one on a similar topic, and it's not going to be the same message though, so don't worry. I'm not going to say exactly the same things, although that would be easy, you know. Just every year you'll be like, hey, this is starting to sound familiar. I wonder which, you know, how many years would have to go by. Oh, he's doing the same ones every year. No, But why talk again about this idea of church community and what we're called together to do? I don't know if you've ever been bothered by this, but I have. As you read through some of the New Testament letters, it seems pretty rare that Paul is actually like telling the churches like, "Hey, you guys need to evangelize." It's like it doesn't fill up his letters. It's there every once in a while. And he also says things like, you know, imitate me. And obviously he was a great evangelist. But I'm like, why isn't that just like filling up all these letters we see? Like, shouldn't that be so central? And then it's kind of like, okay, why is that? And then you kind of look and say, well, what does fill up a lot of his letters? What's in these letters in the New Testament? And I think what you notice is, first of all, like a lot of a theology, which is, you know, this fancy word or whatever, but just talking about, you know, this is who God is, this is who Jesus is, and this is who we are in Jesus. And then there's a lot of, coming out of that stuff, there's a lot of encouragements to live a certain way and to live with one another in community, in relationship with one another in a certain way. And you realize, oh yeah, that's pretty central to a lot of these New Testament letters. And then as you kind of look back through the Gospels, you realize, oh, there's actually a lot of that kind of stuff there too. And then you go back further into the Old Testament and you're like, oh, actually the prophets talk about this too. And then you get to the Old Testament law and you're like, oh, there's a ton about living together and being in relationship and community together here too. And you start going, huh, this seems like it's a decent sized theme in the Bible. And then you kind of look at the whole story of the Bible and you realize this is part of what God's doing in this world. You know, part of his plan to reach the world, part of his mission, part of his outreach is this idea of creating a community that would represent him. You see that in the nation of Israel. You'll be my people, be holy because I'm holy. It's this people called to represent God. And they're called back to that in the prophets. And then that call really gets centered around this one man, Jesus Christ, who does that perfectly, who represents God to the world perfectly. But what's the first thing Jesus does? Or very early on, he gathers around himself a bunch more people. He starts another community. And so you see these people gathered around him, learning from him, growing, being sent out, all these things. And then the Holy Spirit comes and seals them as a community, fills them with power to proclaim the gospel. And it's a community again. And the book of Acts shows this community gathered together, encouraging one another. And of course, as is the case in any community, having conflict. And they're rubbing up against each other as well. And so then we come to these letters, these New Testament letters, and Paul's encouraging the church, hey, let's do this thing really well, because this is God's plan. And this is a huge part of how God wants to reach the world, by creating these communities in the world that show him to the world. And so Paul had this specific call on his life, right? He knew that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. His call was to preach the gospel to places that hadn't heard the gospel before. He was a missionary. He had that strong call on his life. So he went to all these cities. He planted churches. He preached the gospel. That was his aim, preach it as many places as he hasn't heard it. But he also was aware that in these places where he'd preached the gospel and where these churches started, there were these communities, these churches, and that their health and how they lived together was vital for the kingdom advancing in those places. So I think that's part of why he stresses so much on this. It matters what the community of God looks like. And so I'm going to read from one of these letters. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we'll look at one of the things that he says. That was just my little intro. And I know I've said things like it before, but there you go. I'll say it again. I'm reading in a bit of a different translation today in the New Revised Standard Version because I liked how it translated it. starting in verse 12, we're going to read chapter 3, starting in verse 12. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So like I said, I've talked on this kind of topic before, and last time really focused on this idea from 1 Corinthians 12 on unity and diversity, that we're one and we're also diverse and called to use our diverse gifts to build one another up. And that's so central. But today I'm not going to look at that, but I'm going to look at kind of what's highlighted here, which is focuses more on our relationships as people in the body of Christ. And even actually this morning at the Bible study before the service, which is great. There's just some things that he was talking kind of right along this kind of thing. So I'd encourage you to come out to that. It's a fruitful one. But the question I want to ask is, you know, what are the kinds of relationships that are going to form the kind of community that is going to show Jesus to the world? You know, what are the kind of relationships that are going to form the kind of community that's going to show Jesus to the world? And these are goals, ideals. We recognize that, you know, there's no perfect community, and that we trip up and we don't do this perfectly. But we want to have these goals too, right? We want to have these ideals that we look toward to motivate us and to say, hey, let's go toward this. So just want to pick up a few things from the passage we just read and say, hey, here's some maybe guidelines toward, hey, what are the kind of Christian relationships we want to, and if you're single, I'm not talking about, you know, Christian relationships like, you know, marriage relationships or dating relationships, just our relationships in the church. What are the kind of relationships we want that that will produce this kind of community that's going to show Jesus to the world? The first thing, and this is kind of reading between the lines, but I do think it's important, is that it's real community, like there's real relationship. You see this thing of like there's people with complaints against other people, like that's real. There are things that to bear with and things to forgive and opportunities for humility and patience and other opportunities for kindness and compassion to one another. In other words, we actually need to be in real relationship. And sometimes we want to shortcut that and we kind of want to either just fake it or just keep relationships kind of surface level and not enter too deeply into them. And that can actually become the status quo in churches, and especially if you're just, you know, a Sunday morning church involvee. It's a new word, but especially if Sunday mornings is just that's it. That's all the church relationship that you have. It's just coming. Of course, it's so easy to just be surface level. I don't bare my soul to every one of you when you ask how I'm doing on a Sunday morning, right? So you can see how that happens. But the New Testament call is, it's much more deeper and more real than that. I love in Romans 12:15, it says rejoice, Romans 12:15, yeah, it says rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. That idea of, hey, I'm journeying with these people so I can really rejoice when they rejoice, and I can really mourn, really feel the sorrows when they're going through sorrows. So that's the first thing. It's just this community we're called into, these relationships we're called into as Christians are meant to be really real, close relationships. And the second thing is that they're to be characterized by peace and love. And so Christian community has to be real. And of course, that does entail conflict, difference, working things out. But the call is toward peace with one another. And that's what verse 15 says. So we're to represent Christ as one body, living at peace with one another. So to get from kind of conflict and all the things entailed in real relationship to real peace, it requires a certain attitude and behavior, right? And so Paul says, you know, we have to clothe ourselves with love, with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Right before these verses, Paul's talking about things we got to get rid of. You know, that's the old life. Get rid of those things. And now we got to redress ourselves, put on new ways. And all of these things have to do with how we're interacting with other people, our relationships. Put on these qualities. Let them show to one another. Christian relationships meant to be real and at the same time to be characterized by peace and love. We've got to hold both of those things. And we're going to add one more thing just to make it fun. Also to hold on to is that not only are these real relationships and not only is the call to love one another so that we would be at peace with one another in these relationships, but finally, we're called to let the word of God dwell richly in our community. And I think that's an important point. Because, you know, authenticity and that kind of stuff, it's pretty trendy these days. You know, we want to be authentic. We want to be genuine. But if that's all, and that's important, it is. We want to be real. We want to have real relationships. But if that's all that our relationships are, then, you know, we can pretty get into a pity party mindset pretty quick, or just, you know, have our little camps where we squabble with one another and we're real. We're real, but there's something that's not quite there. And also, though, if this forgiveness stuff, this bearing with, that is important as well. But if that's all that we have, then there's something missing. You know what? I skipped a page. As I said, bearing with, I realized, wait a second, I'm missing something. So there you go. So I'm going to go back because it was good stuff that I skipped and it was feeling it short. So we're going to get there. And now you know where we're going to get. okay, so we're back to, just to help you, we're back into this idea of how we relate, that we want to be people of forgiveness and bearing with one another. And so there's these things that we put on. And then in verse 13, though, this is where I want to go in. Verse 13 is talking about these two things of bearing with and forgiving with. And that's kind of want to just get a bit more specific. And I like that they're paired together because they're similar, this idea of bearing with and forgiving, but they're also different. And so first, this idea of bearing with one another. There's things about people, you know, as we are in relationship, there's things about people that are just, they're going to be grating to us, right? We all know characteristics of people that are just grating. Maybe it's just the way they talk. Maybe it's a certain hobby horse that they want to talk about all the time. Maybe it's just a tendency they have we find difficult. We're going to talk about forgiveness in a second, but I think there's a step we can take even before we have to talk about forgiveness, before we even have to talk about I'm hurt, I need to forgive. And I think this language of bearing with is a helpful one. And these spiritual fruits of humility and meekness and patience, they enable us just to bear with other people, to bear with one another. Have you ever met someone who's just really humble? It's not most of us, I know. But there are some people out there, right, who don't have an inflated idea of themselves. And you meet someone like this, and they're usually able to bear with other people pretty well. They're not, you know, they don't have this ego to protect, and they're just, you know, okay, yeah, they're able to just kind of be with other people. And it's not just like suppressed annoyance or politeness, right? Because we can all kind of do that. But love enables tolerance to be genuine. As we put on love and humility and patience and all these things, we're able to let more things go. You know, we can be like, yeah, you know, they come on really strong about that one topic, but I love them. So that doesn't need to become an issue. Yeah, that could be pretty annoying, but I love them genuinely. And so I don't have to let it get to me. And you know, as that tolerance becomes genuine through love, it means I also don't need to let out my annoyance, you know, by telling everyone else the annoying things. It's like, that's the fake way, right? Just, I'm going to suppress it, and then I'm just going to let it out somewhere else and just be like, oh, that person's so annoying. I think love can make this kind of putting up with or bearing with or tolerance really genuine in a way where we say, yeah, it's difficult, I guess, but I love them, and that's bigger, and so I can just let it go. To bear with one another. And then, of course, there are times when the bearing with that language doesn't quite cut it because we've actually been hurt, and there's real offense. People have genuinely hurt us. But I love that Paul pairs with bearing with this idea of forgiving. And we know that, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean a lack of confrontation. It's not this kind of idea, I'm just going to avoid this. In fact, confronting when you've been offended is actually, it's a biblical idea. It's a godly thing. But in response to Jesus' forgiveness of our sins, then we always have to forgive others when they hurt us, right? And that's always the Christian motivation for forgiveness, and it's here again, Paul says it. We've been forgiven much, and so we can love much and forgive in turn. All right, we're back. That's good, right? You gotta get that. So the ideal for Christian relationship isn't no conflict, but it is each of us demonstrating Christ's love and compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience to one another and bearing with one another and forgiving one another in response to Jesus' forgiveness of us. And so this final point that I said was important, because authenticity leaves us hanging. And forgiveness, this is beautiful, and it's so central, you know, this stuff of being Christ-like in our relationships. And it's beautiful, but you could also imagine a community that's very forgiving, very tolerant of one another, that ends up just kind of settling back into a sort of apathy. Into sort of, hey, we're all good, you're good, I'm good, we're all good here, and that's the end of the story. And so I love this bringing in here this fuller picture where Paul says, and let the word of God dwell among you richly. Let the word of God, because the word of God is so big, it's so full, and it calls us up, doesn't it? The word of God doesn't just say, you're forgiven, now just chill. It calls us up. And I love that Jamie was even praying into that kind of thing. I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I don't want to just be complacent and just like, yeah, here's where I am, whatever. I want to grow. I want to be called up. I love that Pastor Rob shared his life verse a few weeks ago, Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. And it was funny because he said he liked it because the word stupid is in the Bible, right, when he first read it. I love it though, you know, the idea that, hey, if we really want to be wise, then we want to be called out. We want to be called up. We want to be corrected, because that's how we grow. That's how we grow up. That's how we grow into what God's called us to. And I hope that that's us. I hope that we're a community that wants to grow, that wants to be called up, to go further. I hope we have big dreams for the church and for one another. And I think that's part of what love looks like, isn't it? I remember I have a group of guy friends, and we're a close group, and we've been friends since we were teenagers. And so we've we're adults, lots of us have kids now, and but we were also young punks together, and Christian punks, which is a special breed. And so I remember that, you know, we used to talk about girls lots, you know, and who the kind of person we want to marry and thing like, and I remember one line was like, man, I just want to marry a Nala. A Nala. Anyone following me? No. Okay. Nala is the lioness from Lion King. Now you're like, okay, yeah, yeah. And she's got this great line when they meet in the jungle. You know, Simba has run away from his calling to be king. He's a coward. And he's hiding out in the jungle singing Hakuna Matata. And Nala comes and finds him. And suddenly this music, Can You Feel the Love Tonight, starts playing. And it's very, they're in this jungle setting. It's very romantic. But there's this thing that's going on in Nala. And she sings, he's holding back, he's hiding. But what I can't decide, why won't he be the king I know he is, the king I see inside? We're like, yeah, I want to marry a Nala, you know? So I'm like, who's gonna, I don't know if that was copyright issues, Chris, sorry. No, it's not displayed, so we're good. But this idea of, yeah, we want to marry someone who's like, who's going to like call that out, you know, call us up like, hey, why won't you be the king I know you are, you know, the king I see inside, step up. And I did it. I married Anala. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Sarah's great at this, at being like, hey, here's where we are. And, you know, when we're married, we see all of the flaws, right? We see all of the low points. But Sarah started saying this to me. I think we were when we were dating, she'd say, I'd be like having a hard time or something. She'd be like, I got high hopes for you. And it's such an encouraging thing. And so we'll say that to one another every once in a while to be like, yeah, I know you're not there yet, but I got high hopes for you. I want you to grow. I want you to step up. And I think this idea of, hey, we want to let the word of God dwell among us richly, is saying we're not just going to be content with where we are. We want to be called up. It's part of Christian relationship as well, that we bring the word of God into one another's lives and call one another up. I love that word richly. You know, it's not poorly, it's not scrimply. We want the word of God to dwell among us richly in all sorts of ways. Let the word of Christ be everywhere among us. You know, it's not just one sermon a week on Sundays. Let this dwell among us. And these are some of the ways that it says. Teaching and admonishing. And I think those are that's kind of what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking of this calling one another up. I read one commentary that said, you know, okay, now we're talking about teaching and admonishing, and that's now moving into the specific offices of the church. You know, like it's like all of a sudden we're just talking about pastors or something, teaching from the front. But, and I kind of get how that's like a safe move to make, like to say, yeah, you know, this is the structure or whatever. But I, when I read it, it doesn't seem like exclusive language in this verse. There's this one another language, you know, teaching and admonishing one another. In various ways, in Christian community, we're called to teach the word of Christ to one another and to admonish one another through the word of Christ. And we're called to do this with all wisdom, it says. And that certainly involves, you know, listening to the counsel of those who are wiser than us, listening to the teaching from pastors and leadership. But I love that this is also supposed to be part of Christian community. We're called to call one another up towards Christ. It's further up and further in. And sometimes that involves conflict, this idea of admonishing one another. Do that with all wisdom. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's sharing, teaching. Maybe it's a healing word. We're talking about that idea this morning. But this idea that we're to let the word of Christ dwell among us richly through teaching, admonishing one another with all wisdom so that we would grow up into what the word of God calls us into. And then another example it says is singing and praising. It's another way we're to let the word of God dwell among us richly through the songs we sing. And it's tied to this idea of that we're to be a thankful people, to be thankful and give thanks through song. And as we sing these songs, we let the word of God dwell among us richly. I love that. you know, the songs that we sing, they're not just for music, so we can kind of jam out. They're bringing God's words to our lips. They're branding God's words on our heart. I don't know, who can remember, you know, songs from your childhood still? I think when I was down south with family over Christmas, one night with my family, we just had a session where we just sang a bunch of 90s worship songs together. It was great. It was a fun time. As we sing, we're bringing the words of God onto our lips, branding them on our hearts. And I think what's maybe most even central in this passage is this idea that we're bringing the words of Christ onto our lips as a community. You know, as we sing together in relationship, the word of God is dwelling among us richly. You're singing these Bible-inspired worship songs. And it's so rich to hear all of our voices sing those words together. So let the word of God dwell among us richly in all sorts of ways, teaching and admonishing one another, singing together. Let the word of God shape us and shape our relationships and shape our community. So, in summary, I guess, the call for Christian relationship and community is that it would be real community, real relationships, not surface level. That we'd be genuinely in one another's lives, such that there will be opportunities for genuine humility and meekness and patience and compassion and kindness, for bearing with one another, for complaints against one another, and for forgiving one another. And that this community would be characterized by a pursuit of peace with one another through genuine love, genuinely bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and putting on all of these character traits that enable us to love one another. And finally, the call for Christian relationship and community is that our relationships and community would be spaces where God's word could dwell richly among us in all sorts of ways. Teaching and admonishing one another, singing praise together, giving thanks, that we would be shaped by the word of God in our Christian community and our relationships. Now, it's no secret that that ideal is rarely lived out well, even in the early church. It's so easy to go to surface level relationships, or to petty squabbles, or deep resentment, or apathetic kind of status quo living. And so how can we do this? You know, how can we do all these things? How can we be real with one another and bear with one another and admonish one another? Even those three. It's like, how do we do all those? There's only one way. There's only one way, because there's only one life lived that brings all of those things that we've talked about out together perfectly. And I hope, you know, at least a few of us know whose life I'm talking about. Jesus' life, right? Jesus himself. And I our section closes with these words, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In order to do this kind of relationship that I believe we're called into, we got to get close to Jesus, to know him, to follow him, to be serious about, hey, I want to follow you, Jesus. I want to be like you. We got to do that if we're going to live with one another in the Jesusian way, easily, you know, Christian way. It's easier. Hey, I just wanted to close with a note. We have a decent sized community here, and not everyone who's a part of this community is here this morning. And it's a big group, and I know there are bigger churches in the world, but this is a decent size, and so it can be hard to say, hey, where can I invest in these kind of relationships? And I think small groups are an awesome place to do that. And so, like I said already, we've got one on Sunday mornings where we listen and then we discuss, and it's an opportunity to be real with one another, to let the word of God dwell among us richly. And so there's one. There's another one that's just started up at the Clunases on Wednesday evenings at 7:00. And then I know, you know, for everyone, this can be a struggle sometimes, finding, okay, where and for us too, as a family, it's been a struggle. How do we do this? We got a 2-year-old, we got a baby, you know, how do we manage this? And so we're like, okay, we got to figure something out. So right now, Sarah and I too are working on, how can we get a group going that will kind of have space and that'll work for us. And because it's so important, It's so valuable to have space for these kind of relationships and to grow with one another and to help one another grow. So forthcoming, that one. But why don't we pray? I'll ask the worship team to come up. I'll also ask prayer team, if you're on the prayer team. We always want to have opportunity for people on either side. There's people there that if you want to pray with someone about anything, whether it's something from the message or just something that's in your life, that there's opportunity. So there will be people on either side who you can come up and pray with. But let me pray for us as we close. Jesus, thank you for this this wonderful bunch of people. Truly, God, thank you for a really sweet, rich group of great characters. And not a lot of grading opportunities. But God, I pray that even as a lot of us know one another or that we have these relationships, I pray that you would draw us deeper into that, into having these spaces where we're not just hanging out, but challenging one another, growing together, letting your word shape us as a community and in our relationships. And God, I pray that would just be such a fruitful thing, that it would that we would individually grow up and spur one another on into growing up into what you have for us, God. And I pray your love would clothe us, that you'd teach us these practices of clothing ourselves with your love. And I pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that we would know Jesus so close, and you'd give us the power, the opportunity to live in this way with one another, Jesus. And I pray that your name would be lifted up in Terrace because of it, and we would represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen.